Once upon a time, there was a man named Jim. Now, Jim was a sensible kind of guy, a sensible kind of man. Jim, if he ever wanted a pair of shoes, he would go out and he would look for the most sensible shoes he could find, meaning they were nicely waterproof, they weren't too extravagant or ostentatious, they looked nice but not too nice. Nope, Jim was a sensible kind of guy, and it was reflected in everything he did and everything he wore. For example, if he wanted to buy a coat, he'd make sure it was well-made, sturdy, likely to be long-wearing, waterproof, and above all, not too conspicuous. And because of this, you'd hardly notice Jim if you saw him in a crowd. You'd hardly notice him. But one day Jim was in a shop. A clothes shop. Turns out he needed a new jacket. Probably the last one he'd worn for 10 years. But now, even though it was sturdy and well made, it was a bit too threadbare to keep wearing. So Jim was out clothes shopping, looking for a jacket. And he was in a very ordinary clothes shop. The sort of clothes shop just made for people like Jim. And he was at the back of the men's section looking at the jackets, when all of a sudden he saw, quite out of place, the most extraordinary coat he'd ever seen. It was multicoloured, just hanging there amongst the other coats. Multicoloured and shining and brilliant. Seemed to have every colour of the rainbow. And Jim could hardly believe his eyes. This coat so sparkling and shiny and having every single colour of the rainbow just hanging there next to all the brown and the grey and the black men's coats there at the back of the shop. And he stared around him thinking there must be some mistake. This must be some kind of a joke. But no one seemed to have noticed. And no one was making much of a fuss. And that coat, it just hung there. And Jim couldn't take his eyes off it. At first because it was so strange and so out of place. But later he realised that there was something about that coat. As if it was calling to him. As if it was pulling on his eyes. Making sure that they couldn't look anywhere else. And although he tried to snap himself out of it, Jim couldn't take his eyes off that coat. It was so extraordinary, so alluring. He thought at one point, well, I ought to be going now. There's obviously no coats in this shop for me. Or maybe I should go and check over there. I think I saw a nice brown coat hanging round the corner just here. But even though he tried to get his feet to move, it was as if someone had stapled his feet to the ground. And his eyes were being constantly pulled towards that coat. Before long, his feet were following, just to get a closer look. Before long, Jim found himself staring up close at that extraordinary coat. What was it doing there, he thought? Hadn't someone noticed? This coat was completely out of place. Wasn't someone going to do something? Remove it, perhaps? Or take it to one of those flashy shops where they sell such things? But no, there was no one nearby. It was just Jim and the coat, staring at one another as if they belonged together. And without quite knowing what he was doing, Jim took the coat off its hanger and just held it in his hands. And as soon as he did that, something very strange began to happen. His hands, they began tingling. His arms started pulling the coat closer to him. And his feet, they turned around and walked straight to the cashier's desk, where you pay for your things. And without knowing quite what he was saying, Jim said, how much for this coat? How much for this coat here? Oh, isn't it lovely? Said the lady behind the till. It's a lovely coat. Would you like to put it on right now? No, said Jim. I just wanted to know how much it was. Well, she said, let me look at the label. And she looked, and she named a price that to Jim seemed extraordinarily cheap. Is that all, he said? Yes, she said. It's the last one we've got, so it's on sale. Oh, said Jim, suddenly disappointed, as if now the last possible excuse that he had for not buying it had been removed. Well then, I'll take it, he said. And his voice sounded strange, like an echo in his head, as if someone else was saying it, not him. He would say the thing and then realise what he'd done and almost clap his hand to his mouth. Lovely, she said. Would you like to wear it now or shall I put it in a bag? Oh, put it in a bag, said Jim, as if he couldn't bear the thought of anybody seeing him with it. He paid over his money and ran out of the shop with the bag under his arm. Ran all the way home. And when he got home, he stuffed that coat, still in its bag, in the back of his wardrobe, hoping that somehow he'd forget about it. Hoping that this was all just a strange experience. And he'd forget all about the coat and never have to think about it again. But things did not turn out quite as Jim wanted. Because that coat in its bag at the back of his wardrobe, it seemed to be calling him. Jim, Jim, put me on. Let's see what we look like together. Jim, put me on. I'd like to make you sparkle and shine. Jim, Jim, why aren't you wearing me? And although he wished it wasn't happening, Jim knew that he couldn't keep ignoring it. And so one day, he went to the wardrobe and he opened it up and he reached into the depths of it where he'd stuffed that coat. And he pulled out the coat in its bag and it started already dancing in his hands. Like that coat just wanted to get out. Like that coat just couldn't wait to get on him. And when he'd pulled it out, why, he was kind of dazzled by its shine, by its sparkle, by its beauty, by its brilliance. All gold and silver and every colour of the rainbow. All shining and sparkling and saying, look at me, look at me. And although Jim wished it wasn't happening, his hands started to play with it. And before long, it was on him. Before long, he was wearing it. And now he was ashamed. Him, Jim, wearing such a coat? Ridiculous! Who ever heard of such a thing as Jim? Jim, the sensible man, wearing a coat like that? He had it on him, but he wanted to take it off. But there was no chance of that, no chance whatsoever, because his arms and his legs were just walking and prancing, indeed, prancing around the apartment, making such a nice deal of wearing that lovely coat that Jim didn't know where to put himself. All right, he thought, well, at least no one's going to see me. And he went around drawing all the curtains, even while he started prancing and dancing in that lovely coat of his. Poor old Jim. He didn't know what to do, and with all that prancing and dancing, he started to feel quite claustrophobic in that apartment of his. He started to need a bit more air. He started to feel, there's not enough room in here. I've got to get out. And before he knew what had happened, Jim had thrown open his front door and run, gasping, from his flat. But once he was out, there was no going back. Now he was outside, where anybody could see him. He, Jim, wearing that coat. At first he clung to the shadows, walked down the sides of the street, hung about in alleys, tried to keep away from the crowd. Coat, it seemed to want the sunshine. It seemed to want to go to the places where people are. And every bit of attention that he received, why, the coat seemed to love it and say, come on, Jim, let's go to where the people are, to where the people can see you. Until, although he wished it were otherwise, Jim found himself in the town square, the place where everybody went to do their shopping, to hang out, to look and see who was there, and where occasionally even the king would go. And that day, the king was out strolling, looking for a new jester. You see, his old jester, who had been much loved, had died. And the king had been looking for a long, long time for another court jester who could tell him stories and entertain him and tell him jokes in the evening and all. But he hadn't found one that had satisfied him. So he thought, in his frustration, that he would simply go out into the town square and walk about and see if there was anyone out there, perhaps a jester gathering a crowd or telling stories or jokes on the steps of one of the fountains there. The king thought, well, maybe I'll just see somebody. And it was then, at that very moment, that Jim happened to blunder into the town square, wearing his brightly coloured coat. It was then that the king saw him. And he said to his chamberlain, who's that man? And pretty soon, guards were running up, clapping Jim on either side, and saying, the king wants to see you. And Jim thought, oh no, what have I done? Oh no, I'm in terrible trouble. Oh no, now I'm going to get into all kinds of trouble for wearing this awfully coloured coat. What am I going to do? Well, he didn't have much time to think about it, because pretty soon he was dragged off to the palace and there brought before the king. And the king said, you, sir, I'd like you to tell me a joke or a story or sing me a song. I'd like you to be my jester. You look just the sort of chap who'd be good for that sort of thing. So go on then, tell me something, entertain me, amuse me. And Jim, he just stared back at the king with a look of horror on his face. Your Majesty, I don't know any jokes. You don't know any jokes? Said the king. But what are you doing wearing a coat like that? Well, I... What about a story? Said the king. I don't know any stories. Don't know any stories? Nonsense! Ridiculous! I don't believe a word of it. Send him down to the dungeons, said the king, and the guards grabbed hold of Jim and dragged him down, down, down into the basement of the palace and threw him in a dark dungeon. And the king gave orders that unless Jim could think of a good story or a good joke, he'd have to spend the rest of his days down there. Poor old Jim. For many days he sat down there in the dungeon, sniffing and sobbing and feeling sorry for himself.
For many, many days he sat down there thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to tell the king a story? He even started muttering and mumbling to himself. And it was when he started doing that that he realised that something was in the dungeon with him. Something was in the dungeon with him. A shadowy figure in the corner, grunting and moving there in the shadows. And as it grunted and moved, as it grunted, Jim realised what it was.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
Said Jim. And that shadowy, dark form, grunting and getting closer, revealed itself at last to be a gorilla. Coming towards Jim, coming towards Jim. Its nostrils flaring, its hair all scraggly and matted and greasy, like it had been down there in the dungeons for years. And closer and closer it came until Jim found himself scratching on the stones beneath him with his fingernails, thinking, oh no, no, now I'm going to die. Now I'm going to die because, all because I wore that silly coat. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Said the gorilla as it came closer and closer until it was nose to nose with Jim, hot breath on his face. And the gorilla said, if you want a story for the king, I could tell you one.
You could? Said Jim.
Yes, said the gorilla. Very good. Very good story. I'll tell you it now.
And he did. The gorilla told Jim the story right there and then. And it was a good story. A really good story. Had Jim, even in the depths of his misery and his fear, laughing, laughing out loud. It was so funny. God, that's a great story, said Jim. I'll tell that to the king today. And he started banging on the bars of the dungeon and alerting the guards that he had something to say. And when they came, Jim said, tell the king I've got a story for him.
Oh, about time too, said the guards.
And they took him up, clapped in irons as he still was, and dragged him up to the king's throne room. And when the king had finished with his business for the day, why, he sat and he listened to Jim's story. And it was such a good story that the king could hardly believe it. Tonight, he said, you will tell for my whole court. But I'd like a different story. I'd like a different story. The next one. I'm sure it'll be even better. And Jim was thrown down to the dungeons again, and thrown down into despair, into despair.
Oh, what am I going to do now? He said. The whole court, all hundreds of them, waiting for a story. I don't have a story. I don't have another story, at least.
And out of the shadows came the gorilla.
I'll tell you another one.
Even better than the last, said Jim.
Even better than the last. It'll have 'em rolling in the aisles, said the gorilla.
Oh, good, said Jim. That's just what I need.
And so that evening, Jim was ushered up to the king's grand ballroom. And the place was thronging. The place was filled with courtiers and servants and guards and noblemen and people from all over the kingdom who'd been invited specially. And as Jim came up, he could hear them already whispering, well, he can't be as good as the last one. The last jester was so wonderful. He was sublime. And this guy doesn't look like he could tell a good story, does he? Just has a funny-looking goat. And when Jim stood before the king and stood before all the hundreds of guests, he began to tell his story. But it was even better than the last one. It was so good that all the guests, they were laughing, and then they were weeping, and then they were laughing again. And the king beamed with satisfaction, beamed with pride that he had the finest jester around. And after that, the king held regular balls and regular parties, and his jester was always top of the bill, the most exclusive act, and he would tell stories such that people would marvel and weep and wonder and laugh. Every single story he told, he got it down in the dungeon from his gorilla whispering it in his ear. Well, this went on for weeks and weeks and months and months, until after all of this time, and every day hearing new stories from Jim, the king, he said to him one day, "Do you know what? You don't need to be in that dungeon anymore. I'm going to give you an apartment all of your own right here in my palace." "Oh, thank you very much," said Jim. But then as soon as he realized what that might mean, that he might not be able to see his gorilla and that he might not get his stories anymore, he started to turn white as a sheet and to tremble. But it was already too late. The guards were taking him off to his apartment and showing him round, and although it was lovely and rather luxurious, Jim couldn't enjoy any of it. All he was thinking was, "Where's my gorilla now? How am I going to get stories?" Well, for the rest of that day, Jim just sat in his lovely new apartment, trembling and shaking with worry and fear. And just when the time was approaching when Jim was to be taken down to the king's ballroom and tell another story, what did Jim hear? But outside, and coming in through his open window, he heard the sound and he looked out the window, and what did he see? But there was his gorilla, shimmying up the drainpipe and climbing up the wall and clambering in through the open window. And he ran straight into the bathtub, and that's where he lived. And Jim, he would listen to him every day and get wonderful new stories in that way. And they were both very, very happy. And Jim's fame only grew far and wide, until other kings, emperors even, were coming from far distant lands to hear Jim's wonderful stories. But one day, an emperor from a far distant kingdom visited the king. And this emperor was much richer and more powerful than the king was. So it was a great honor. And of course, Jim told a story for the emperor's honor. And at the end of the story, the emperor was so moved that he said to the king, "How much for that jester? How much for that jester?" And the king, who had no intention of selling Jim to another ruler, he named a price so outrageous that he was quite sure in his own mind that the emperor would simply laugh and refuse to pay it. But to his horror, no sooner had the king mentioned this outrageous figure than the emperor became very thoughtful, pondered for a while, and then said, "Very well then, and instructed his chamberlain to pay the king the exact amount that he had just asked for. And before the king could change his mind, why, Jim was packed off in a gilded carriage, off to the emperor's palace. And all the way there, poor old Jim, he was once again shaking and trembling with fear, because he hadn't managed to bring his gorilla with him. His gorilla was back in the palace. How was he going to tell stories now? Oh, how was he going to tell stories now? And the further that carriage rumbled away down the road, the more desolate Jim became. The further they got away from the palace, the more miserable and hopeless Jim felt. I'll never see my gorilla again. What am I to do? By the end of that trip, by the time the emperor's enormous palace was pulling into view, Jim was already resigned to not lasting more than a few days at that palace. Because what was he to do now? What would he do now without his gorilla? Well, Jim was given an even more splendid and outlandish apartment than he'd had in the king's palace. It was wonderful in every respect. The only thing missing was his gorilla. And Jim sat in despair on one of his gilded and lovely cushioned chairs. He sat by an open window and he wept and he wept. And just as the hour was approaching, when Jim was to come and tell the emperor his first story, what did Jim hear but... And he ran to the window and he looked down. What did he see? But there was his gorilla shimmying up the drainpipe again, shimmying up the drainpipe and clambering in through the window. How did you find your way here? Said Jim. Said the gorilla.
I was clinging to the underside of the carriage and nobody saw me.
Well, from that day forth, Jim told the emperor even more wonderful stories than even he had told the king. And the emperor was so pleased and so delighted with him that after many, many, many years of listening to Jim's stories, why, when the old emperor died and had no children of his own to pass on the empire to, he said that Jim should become the new emperor, because he wanted a wise and clever man to rule his kingdom, and Jim was the wisest and cleverest man that he knew of. So that's what happened. Jim became the new emperor, and he had his gorilla always by his side and always received the very best advice from him. And now and then, Jim would throw open the palace doors and everybody could come. Everybody could come and listen to a story. And that's the end of mine. The end of my story. All about Jim. All about Jim.